It's no secret that in Nigeria, electoral offenses happen. There's vote buying, ballot box snatching, bribing of INEC officials, disorderly behavior at a political meeting, illegal voting, threatening a person with violence. These and so much more have been defined as election offenses in our laws, and they come with penalties.
The police and the security agencies have arrested in the last 6 months over 2,000 electoral offenders. What do we do with them? I can assure you, once the elections are over, the inconclusive elections are concluded, new governments are inaugurated, our attention will shift elsewhere.
That is Barrister Femi Falana speaking with Channels Television after the 2019 elections. Now, once offenders are arrested, some will be charged to court. But according to Mr. Falana, most of these cases are quietly discontinued. The current chairman of INEC, Professor Mahmood Yakubu, has confirmed that even though INEC has a legal right to prosecute electoral offenses, few cases have actually been prosecuted.
INEC is saddled with the responsibility of prosecuting electoral offenders under the Electoral Act. This has been very challenging for the Commission. For instance, since the 2015 general election, 125 cases of electoral offenses were filed in various courts, out of which 60 convictions have so far been secured. So I recommend the establishment of the Electoral Offenses Commission.
Last month, Professor Yakubu spoke at a public hearing in support of a bill for an act to establish the National Electoral Offenses Commission, which would be a commission separate from INEC that would be in charge of investigating and prosecuting electoral offenses.
The way things are supposed to work under our laws is that after an election, election petitions, they can be submitted to an election tribunal. Now, the election tribunal, they're tasked with receiving petitions, reviewing evidence, and making a judgment within about 180 days of receiving the petition. They're then empowered by Clause 144 of the 2022 Electoral Act to recommend cases to INEC for prosecution. Legal officers of INEC or any legal practitioner that INEC appoints can then prosecute the cases. That's how things are supposed to work, but obviously, they haven't been working. And now INEC is asking for a separate commission to be set up to do that job. But why isn't the current process working? And will this new commission, as designed in the proposed bill, fix the issues with the current process?
The recent elections in Nigeria have been widely criticized by both domestic and the international community as being seriously flawed. For the purpose of maintaining unity in Nigeria, would you give the benefit of the doubt to President Yar'Adua for admitting for the first time in Africa that he has come to power in an election that has been seriously flawed and that that behavior should not be tolerated in the future?
The 2007 general election brought President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua into power, and that election was riddled with election malpractice. Following the widespread criticism of the election, President Yar'Adua promised in his inaugural address to examine and reform the electoral process.
I want at this juncture to make clear to all Nigerians my vision and the vision of this administration as it relates to the electoral reform process. First, I want to state very clearly, electoral reform is a program of this administration. I want to state that the electoral reform panel made a total of 83 recommendations.
On August 28, 2007, Pierre Adua inaugurated a 22-member electoral reform committee. That became known as the Owais Committee because it was headed by the then-retired Justice Mohamed Owais. The committee comprised the best brains from academia, civil society organizations, professional groups, and public service. Even Professor Atahi Rujaga, who, as you know, later became INEC chairman, he served on that committee. The committee was tasked to examine the entire electoral process and come up with recommendations on how we can improve it. So they rolled up their sleeves and they got to work. 1 year later, in December 2008, they submitted a report. Now, along with their report, the Owais Committee drafted three bills. One of those bills was for an act to establish the Electoral Offenses Commission. Now, even though some of the recommendations of the Owais Committee, they were incorporated into the 2010 Electoral Act, the proposed bill for an Electoral Offenses Commission was never passed.
Fast forward 14 years after the Owais report was presented, the House Committee on Electoral Matters has once again proposed a bill for an act to establish the National Electoral Offenses Commission. But during that 14-year period, at least four bills have been proposed to set up an Electoral Offenses Commission, and each time, the bills have failed to sail through. And part of the issue with the proposed bill may simply be, why do we need a new commission to prosecute electoral offenses? The existing laws empower INEC to prosecute electoral offenses through election tribunals.
Prosecution has been a major challenge. I have said this consistently since after the 2011 elections. INEC lacks the manpower and the resources to be able to do this prosecution successfully. It's not for lack of trying. We've done our best. I have said this repeatedly. We have successfully prosecuted over 200 people in spite of the delays in the court and the challenges of police investigation. You know, but I mean, 200, as I normally say, is a drop in the ocean.
Now, in virtually every interview that we could find where the various INEC chairmen have spoken on the issue, INEC's position has always been that they do not have the funds or the personnel to prosecute electoral offenses. But at a public hearing held just last month in August, the current INEC chairman, Mahmoud Yakubu, he offered yet another reason why INEC should not be responsible for prosecuting electoral offenses. The chairman said that INEC may actually be one of the offenders. By saying this, the chairman is highlighting one of the crucial issues in prosecuting electoral offenses.
In order to prosecute offenses, you need evidence. So, for example, let's say the offense you're alleging is voter registration fraud. Maybe you're claiming that underage persons were allowed to register. In order to take that case to court, you need proof. But the proof you need, which are documents, all of them would be with INEC. And if there is proof that INEC registered underage people, then investigation will show that INEC failed to do their job. So why would INEC be willing to turn over evidence that implicates them? But by setting up a commission independent of INEC to investigate electoral offenses, make arrests, and prosecute the offenses, the idea is that even INEC officials could be held liable for committing offenses.
So we took a closer look at the proposed bill for an act to establish the Electoral Offenses Commission, and we found significant gaps that could make the bill virtually ineffective if it's passed. We analyzed the bill with the following five questions in mind. Question number one, who is the bill targeting? We want to know the type of offenders that would be charged under this bill. Number two, what types of offenses is the bill targeting and what are the penalties? Number three, where will the offenses be tried? Is it under state high courts or federal high courts? Four, when are the offenses tried? Is there a timeline for when offenses can be investigated and tried? Is there a statute of limitations? And finally, number five, why should the public have confidence in this commission? Will it truly be independent? Are there requirements for the commission to be transparent about what they're doing?
The first gap we observed is in who the bill is targeting. The proposed bill identifies the potential offenders only as persons. It does not include corporate bodies, organizations, or associations such as political parties. As it is written right now, the bill would punish persons who are found guilty of the offenses listed, but any political party or sponsor of the person will not be punished. It is not clear why the drafters of the bill left this gap. The terminology in the bill needs to be defined such that potential offenders include persons, corporate bodies, organizations, or associations.
The second gap we observed, it has to do with what types of offenses the bill is targeting. The types of offenses tend to focus more on things that an individual person would commit. So for example, ballot box snatching, fraudulent registrations. But the bill is silent on some of the offenses that could be committed by corporate bodies, organizations, and associations. For example, if a candidate fails to submit a statement of election expenses within 6 months after election, the bill recognizes that as an offense. But what about if the political party fails to submit a statement of election expenses? And what about a statement of all the contributions that the candidate and the political party received? Why is it that under this bill, failure to submit a statement of contributions within 3 months after the election is not considered an offense? We suggest that offenses be redefined to include not only offenses that an individual person commits, but offenses that corporate bodies, organizations, and associations commit. For example, if INEC fails to maintain records or disclose records required for an investigation, isn't that an offense?
There are other gaps in what the bill defines as offenses. The bill addresses bribery as a type of offense, but the definition is so broad that anything including campaign promises will be considered bribery. And then the bill is silent on handouts like conditional cash transfers. If a ruling party dashes or distributes 20,000 naira to our most vulnerable population months before an election, is that bribery? The proposed bill also targets hate speech as an offense, but the definition of hate speech in the bill is broad and can be interpreted to include legitimate criticism. We suggest that the drafters revisit the types of offenses they have defined in the bill and rationalize them for existing laws. For example, for bribery, the bill should refer to existing definitions and laws on bribery. We also have libel laws that would cover speech which causes damage to another person, and our MBC Code of Conduct covers inappropriate speech that is broadcast through multimedia platforms, including the internet. Our third observation is about where the alleged offenders could be tried. The proposed bill is clear that any court, whether it is the Federal High Court, State High Court, or the FCT High Court, has jurisdiction to try the electoral offense cases.
Our fourth observation is about when offenses should be alleged and when the trial should be completed. For example, should we submit all claims of electoral offenses within 3 months after an election? Or can we wait and submit allegations 2 years after an election? And once an offense is alleged, how long can the courts take to reach a judgment? 3 months? 5 years? And what happens to the candidate or political party during that time? Can they resume office, or do they have to wait until after the cases are resolved? These are critical details that are not defined in the proposed bill. Our last and most important observation is about why the public should have confidence in the commission. We found items in the bill that have either been included or omitted, and which will have a negative impact on the public's confidence in the commission if implemented. For example, the proposed bill allows the commission to accept gifts of land, money, or other property, whether within or outside Nigeria, and there is no requirement for the commission to disclose information about the funds or the source of funds to the public. The source of the commission's funds will determine its ability to remain truly independent. And a clause like this may damage the commission's reputation even before it gets off the ground.
Then we saw another clause that calls into question the Commission's willingness to persecute political candidates and political parties. Remember, we told you that according to the bill, it is an offense if a political candidate fails to submit a statement of election expenses within 6 months after the elections. But then the same bill says the Commission reserves the right not to penalize a candidate if that candidate has a good reason for not submitting their statement of election expenses. This doesn't make sense. The Commission cannot be an investigator, prosecutor, and a judge at the same time. Their job should simply be to charge the candidates if they fail to submit their statement of expenses and then allow the court to make the final judgment. But by adding clauses like this one, where the Commission can make exceptions for certain candidates, then their reputation for independence is already compromised. Finally, the way the bill is written right now, there is no requirement for the Commission to be transparent about its activities and its accounts to the public. In addition to submitting an annual audit report to the President and National Assembly, we suggest that the Commission be required to maintain a summary of its annual activities and accounts on its website for the public to access it at any time. But the most critical gap we noticed is the issue of how the Commission is funded. We all have the sense that INEC, the Independent National Electoral Commission, is probably not as independent as we would like it to be. The very fact that INEC is supporting a separate commission on electoral offenses is a hint that INEC recognizes that it is not 100% independent of political manipulation.
If we pass this bill to set up this new commission, how do we help ensure that it is independent? Now, we've submitted our feedback on the proposed bill for an act to establish the National Electoral Offenses Commission to the committee. And we hope that the committee members take the time to review this episode and to consider our written feedback. It's important for us to start to take electoral offenses seriously. And we know that no bill is perfect the first time around, but we do think that the way this bill is currently written, there are critical gaps in who the bill is targeting, what types of offenses the bill is targeting, the timeline for when offenses should be alleged and tried, and ways to enhance the public's confidence in the commission. If we do not take the time to close these gaps, the commission will be ineffective at best, but at worst, it may actually become a tool for political vengeance. The Backstory is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2022 Triple E Media Productions. If you enjoyed this episode of The Backstory and you would like to hear more, go to our website at 234audio.com to play the sample content. Then download our app from the Google Play Store for even more episodes. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at 234audio to watch the video for this episode. Make sure to click the notification bell, like, and leave a comment. Our episodes can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. This episode of The Backstory was produced by Ramat Mohammed, Miriam Mohammed, Dominic Tabakaji, and Sam Tabakaji. Executive Producer Ramat Mohammed.